Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. James Westminster on this, the second Sunday of Advent. I'm just going to flip back one. In case you didn't read as the slides were going through, this is a picture that was taken at Camp Huron by the Royal Astronomical Society. Have I got that right, Jerry? Yeah. Jerry had several of them and wanted to know which one, and I just kind of like that one. So a sacred place in our sacred place with a sacred picture. A big congratulations to the team that put on the Breakfast with Santa yesterday, led by Laura Manus. An outstanding day. Well over 200 people. Just really exciting and being part of the community, and that's a big part of what we do. So thank you to all who helped and worked through that for us. That's absolutely great. As I mentioned last week, our indwell total is climbing, so we're somewhere around the $13,000 mark, which is absolutely great. The Deanery of London is raising money through their Advent program as well, so that's all really good stuff. Save us a dollar today. Pick up your Christmas letter in the boxes in the Sterling Vestry. It's just by alphabet. Everyone that gets picked up, we don't have to put a dollar to send it out. You also should be getting the Chimes, our Easter newsletter, which is coming up soon. Toonies for Turkeys, which is our annual support for our good friends at Epiphany, helping their outreach program at Christmas. And just because it says Toonies, you're taking this on and taking it to heart, I can see by the plate this morning, doesn't mean you have to just put in a toonie. You know, we take loonies, we take toonies, we take fives, we take tens, we take twenties, anything that you can. It's all to help those who are in need at Christmas time. There was a whole bunch more announcements on the screen. I hope you read them all. Far too long for me to go through them all. So we are just about ready to worship in just a moment. And Jerry will lead the Advent opening.
In the name of Christ, who was, is, and shall be, grace and peace.
God of peace, help us to hear you in the stories of those who struggle. Peace is what the prophets foretold. Peace is what is sacrificed when profit takes precedence.
We light a candle for peace and pray for the courage to stand up for it.
In this second week in Advent, as we wait and the expectation heightens, deepen our desire for peace.
Like the wise called to journey in those early dawning days, may we seek, strive, and search for peace. Like the prophets old and new, may we cry out for its coming.
We light a candle for peace. May it light the way.
Oh, come, we lay the
Almighty God, who sent your servant John the Baptist to prepare your people to welcome the Messiah, inspire us, the ministers and stewards of your truth, to turn our disobedient hearts to you, that when the Christ shall come again to be our judge, we may stand with confidence before his glory, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our service continues with the first reading from Scripture.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Time shall peace and justice flourish. In your time shall peace and justice flourish. Give justice to those in power, O God, and righteousness to our leaders, that they may rule with integrity, that the mountains may bring prosperity, and the little hills bring righteousness. In your time shall peace and justice flourish. Defend those who are in need among the people. Rescue the poor and crush the oppressor. Let justice live as long as the sun and moon endure. Come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth. In time shall the righteousness flourish. There shall be an abundance of peace until the moon is no more. In your time shall peace and justice flourish. Blessed are you, Lord God, for you alone do wondrous deeds. Blessed be your glorious name forever, and may all the earth be filled with your glory. In your time shall peace and justice flourish.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with the unquenchable fire." The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So some things happening over the next few weeks. Next Sunday at 10:30, the Right Reverend Todd Townsend, our bishop, will be here. And so I hope that we'll see you all to hear from our bishop. As I said at 8:30, if anybody ever had a tough start to an Episcopal ministry, it's Todd. I mean, he gets elected and 2 months later we go into lockdown for COVID. We're finally coming out of COVID and now, and I'm kind of guilty of this, a whole bunch of clergy have retired and he's scrambling to try and find people. So I think he could use an attaboy or two when he's here next week because it's been a difficult time. He's a wonderful person and I think that you will enjoy him as your bishop. The next week, the 18th, there will be lessons and carols at 10:30. There will be a Eucharist at 8:30. We decided not to do double lessons and carols because some people who are going away like to have Eucharist in their home church before they go away at Christmas. So if you want to do that, the 8:30 service on the 18th will be available. Lessons and carols will be at 10:30. Christmas Eve, 4, 7, 10. Christmas Day, 10. Those are the services. You'll find that information both in your newsletter, which I hope you pick up today, and in the chimes. So you can tell I'm getting long in the tooth. I actually have notes this morning to keep myself in a straight line. After 28 years, I finally found the thing that I was really, really looking for to help me along. It's existed for over 10 years, and I didn't find it until this week. I'm going to recommend it to you. I haven't gone all the way through it because there's 200 and some videos. Some of you may know it. I know some of the EFM people know it. It's called the Bible Project. It's a group of young people, well, younger than me anyways, I'm sure. I don't think any of them are over 30, who are incredibly interested in the Bible. And using crowdsourcing, which means they're not part of any denomination or beholden to any group for funding, they have produced a massive amount of very simple, very easy to understand videos about the Bible. So I would recommend it to you. I've probably gone through 25 of the videos this week, and I'm not going to say I agree with everything that they have said and done, but what I like is that it's accessible. I mean, theologians have this, and I understand why they have to do it, but they have this habit of using words that are this long, and I think what we need is something that helps people to find the Bible and make it very accessible. I grew up at a time where we were told that the person at the front of the church interpreted what the Bible meant and we didn't need to read it or know what was in it or anything else, just follow along. Well, I don't think that anymore, and you're going to see in the way I preach this homily that I don't think that way anymore. So I find the Bible Project might just be one of those things that all you need is a computer. Just Google the Bible Project, or you can go onto YouTube and search the Bible Project. There are individual videos about each book of the Bible. There's individual videos about different themes in the Bible. They have a blog that has great long discussions. Maybe didn't start ministry this way, but it's the way that I've come to understand the story. And that's what I've always been all about, telling stories. And the Bible is a story. And one of the things that I've never just exactly put into words like this, but think agreed with it for a long time, the Bible Project suggests that the Bible is a coherent story from beginning to end, written by many, many people who had their own reason for writing. But through the work of the Spirit, the Bible makes sense. And they didn't say this, but after watching some of their introduction videos, I think I would say this, and it's again something I've probably believed for a long time, but not put into these terms. The Bible is a story, the continuing story, of God's people living in exile. Because for however many thousand years there have been people on the face of this earth, the one thing that we have never managed to do is to follow the one rule in two parts. Love God, love everybody else. When we can get to the point where we can do that, then we will no longer be in exile. So you can see the first exile as being Adam and Eve in the garden. Why? Because they did what they weren't supposed to do, symbolically. You can go through all of the Old Testament, and then you can see the New Testament right through Revelation and the story of Jesus being about our relationship with Jesus, who repeated again, love God, love your neighbor. And that will bring us into relationship. And when we are in relationship with God, when we, as the society of this world, can all come to a place where we can be in that relationship, then exile will be coming to an end. Now, that sounds so nice and simple and easy, and it's hard as all get out. The story continues. So let me use the two readings today to show you the overarching theme, but also to show the individual nature of each book of the Bible and how important it is for us to understand the stories that are in Scripture. I've been a storyteller since I was a little kid, and I love stories. And I think it's the best way to teach people. I think it's the best way to learn. And stories have to be interactive. And so I'm hoping that in showing this, it will inspire you to go home and grab a Bible or grab a computer and go look at the Bible Project and talk to other people and think about what all this might mean in your lives. So the gospel starts with a quote from Isaiah. John the Baptist comes to prepare the way. So that sounds pretty simple. John the Baptist is the one who comes to prepare the way for Jesus, and that's what Isaiah was saying. Well, if you want to go there, which Isaiah? What? There's more than one Isaiah? Yes, there is, according to biblical scholarship today. The book of Isaiah in 50-some verses is at least divided into three. There's probably people here that might suggest it's divided into four or five parts. The first 39 verses are most likely, most are in agreement that it's the prophet Isaiah who lives before the exile that wrote those first 39 verses. The rest of Isaiah, however many people wrote it, are written after the exile, after they get rid of the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Persians, allow them to come back and rebuild the temple. Those are important things in the life of the people of Israel. So the quote from Matthew is by Isaiah, right? Well, no, because it's from chapter 40, and chapter 40 is the first verse after the exile. Most likely written by someone who followed Isaiah's prophetic way and understanding, but Isaiah the prophet comes before. he comes and people say, oh, don't tell me to read Chronicles and Samuel and all those things, because it's this king did good and this king didn't do good and this king didn't do good and this didn't work and all that. But that's their life, their way. It's a society in which things were always upended. You never knew when somebody was coming from the east, the west, the north, or south to overtake your village or your city, to take you away, to punish you, to throw you in jail. Look at the themes in the Bible of people who were exiled. Adam and Eve, Abraham, you could say, was exiled. He was sent to the promised land because things weren't going well in his home. Joseph gets exiled to Egypt by his brothers, and then Israel leaves there and goes back to the promised land, which they then lose in the exile. There is that theme of exile that runs through. So we have all these quotes from Isaiah that you will hear at Christmas, and you probably have heard at Christmas for a long time. The first reading this morning was from Isaiah 11. So that's from the original prophet rather than the post-exile prophet. So let me give you something that might give you a somewhat comparable thing. Think about talking to a Christian priest before the First World War and then talking to me today. So that's a little over 100 years. You're going to get a whole different understanding, but you're still going to get the same thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's the connection to it, but the world's totally different. Or is it? We're still at war. We're still taking advantage of one another. We're still struggling to find that ability that the early Christians found, if you look in the Acts of the Apostles. The first structure of the way, the church, was that everybody threw everything in a pot and lived together. It's right there in the early chapters of Acts. And it lasted maybe 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years until somebody said, no, I worked harder than you, I get more, and on we go. We can look at that as the idea of the exile. Here's some of the other things from Isaiah that you might remember. Remember, we heard today the shoot from the stump of Jesse. So Jesse is to David and Jesus is of David's line. And we read that and think of the stump as Israel and gone. But Jesus is the shoot that comes up. So Isaiah 6 contains the vision of the prophet Isaiah. It's a pretty interesting vision if you want to go there. You probably won't ever think you've had a vision like this. He had a vision of being in heaven with God on the throne. And the first thing he felt was, I'm not worthy to be here. I'm a man of unclean lips, and this is not where I'm supposed to be. And a winged creature flies down with burning coals and sets them on his lips, and that clarifies the whole problem with unclean lips. And God says, who shall I send? And Isaiah says, to quote the song, here I am, send me. You've all heard this story from Isaiah that the virgin shall be with child, right? It means Mary and Jesus. Except for, if you ask most Bible scholars or language scholars today, they'll suggest that that word is not virgin, that word is young woman. So all of a sudden, it changes the tenor of that saying. The young woman shall be with child. And yes, we will call him Emmanuel. Most likely, Isaiah is talking about somebody's son that might be aligned to be king or leader or whatever. I didn't go back and research it all. I've been down that road several times. But Isaiah had a specific place and a specific task to what he was doing in that day. And then in Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, and all those things. And again, I don't really think Isaiah is talking about Jesus. I think he's talking about his own world. But the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, the story from Genesis to Revelation, makes a cognizant story of the distance or exile of God's people from God. So it's all kind of fascinating to look at it and think about it in that way. What I want to encourage you in this homily, and I hope I have encouraged you in some small way over the last 5 years, go find out for yourself. Go engage with it. The Bible Project will give it to you at, quote, an entry level. I mean, I have watched so many people over the last 28 years going, well, I read my King James Bible and I don't know what it was all about. Well, you know, I read the King James Bible and I don't know what it's all about. I tried to figure out Shakespeare when I was in high school. I failed miserably because I never knew what the plays were about. But when you find it in a place where you can go and look at it yourself, where the story makes sense, where it invites you to come in like a comfortable movie, that's where we find our understanding of the Bible, the individual books, the whole collection, but more importantly, about our relationship with God. As everything else in the world, I'll do things slightly different than you do, and you'll do things slightly different than the next person. It doesn't make anybody right, wrong, or indifferent. It just means that we learn in different ways. But at the end of the day, what we need to remember most, the message of the Bible is love. Love for God and love for each other. Love is an easy word to say. It's a much more difficult word to define. But that's our task. That's our journey as Christians, to come to understand what it is to love God and love our neighbor. Amen. As you were able, I invite you to stand. Let us now confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, standing, sitting, or kneeling.
Our God is always ready to hear our prayers. Let us be still and pray to him now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all those who remind us to be kind and loving by their words and example. We pray that as a church we may get ready to welcome you and put right whatever blocks us from your love. Come to us, Lord. We pray that the lines of communication between people and nations may be kept open, respected, and honored, and that where communication has broken down, there may be a new desire for healing. Come to us, Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those making and repairing roads, traveling on them, and stuck in traffic jams. We pray for the towns and villages linked by roads, and for a public transportation system that protects the environment and serves the community. Come to us, Lord. We pray for those we see and talk to every day or every week, for those we often argue with or misunderstand, and for those who brighten our lives and make us smile, for a greater thankfulness and appreciation of those we usually take for granted. Come to us, Lord. We pray for those we have hurt or upset, for those who feel isolated and alone, for the ill, the frail, the stressed, and the bitter. Come to us, Lord. We pray for the dying and those who have died to this earthly life. May they know the eternal peace of your heaven, and may those who miss them be comforted. Come to us, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for helping us to get ourselves ready to receive you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love, and God is infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to this table. So let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you. As you are comfortable, I invite you to share a sign of peace amongst you. Let us pray. God, our strength, we are nothing without you. Receive all we offer you this day as you sustain us with your mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, for the gift of a world full of wonder. And for our life, which comes from you, by your power, you sustain the universe. Glory to you forever and ever. You created us to love you with all our heart and to love each other as ourselves, but we rebel against you by the evil that we do. In Jesus, your Son, you bring healing to our world and gather us into one great family. Therefore, with all who serve you on earth and in heaven, we praise your wonderful name as we sing. We give you thanks and praise, loving Father, because in sending Jesus, your Son, to us, you showed us how much you love us. He cares for the poor and the hungry. He suffers with the sick and the rejected. Betrayed and forsaken, he did not strike back, but overcame hatred with love. On the cross, he defeated the power of sin and death. By raising him from the dead, you show us the power of your love to bring new life to all your people. Glory to you forever and ever. On the night before he gave up his life for us, Jesus, at supper with his friends, took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, said the blessing, gave it to his friends, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which is shed for you and for many, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." Glory to you forever and ever. Gracious God, with this bread and wine, we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we offer ourselves to you and him. Send your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that we may know the presence of Jesus in the breaking of bread, and share in the life of the family of your children. Glory to you forever and ever. Father, you call us to be your servants. Fill us with the courage and love of Jesus, that all the world may gather in joy at the table of your kingdom. We sing your praise, Almighty Father, through Jesus our Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Glory to you forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God of promise, you prepare a banquet for us in your kingdom. Happy are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb.
Thank you.
communion protocol briefly. We offer communion in the body and the blood. You may come forward and receive one or both. Many people not yet comfortable receiving from the chalice, that's fine. The bread will be served here, the wine here. If you are in need of gluten-free, we have that option. If you would prefer a blessing instead of receiving communion, just cross your arms across your chest like that. And if it all just seems too much and too confusing, you can absolutely sit and enjoy the music during the Eucharist. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Let us pray. Faithful God, we thank you for feeding us with this heavenly banquet. Help us always to hear the prophet's call to turn our hearts to you in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do wonderfully more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us this day and remain with us forevermore. Amen.
Thanks be to God.